absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. It's that time again. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. And as always, if you tuning in at this time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a fine Sunday morning, you tune in to The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to the master, and that is me. Got a great show in store for you today. There's a few things going on that we may not have been covered in the prior shows, and I want to do that this Sunday morning, among other things. We have a great show in store for you today, and if you'd like to join in on the show, quite naturally, you can call or you can go to the chat room and jump into the chat room if you'd rather not talk to me, which is fine. I understand that. You may be shy. When I first started doing this, I was a little phone shy. I used to listen and not join in the conversation. And because of my own insecurities, but I've gotten over them. Hopefully you get over them if you have any, and everybody has some type of insecurity. And you'll express your opinion on here, because this forum is an open forum for the most part. I shouldn't say for the most part. It's an open forum, people. We could talk about everything and anything on this show. I'm not saying I know it all, but I have opinion on everything that anyone could possibly bring up without a shadow of a doubt. Whether you like it or not, I do have that opinion. So jump in the chat room if you'd rather not converse or listen. Well, you listen, and if you want to respond, you can respond in the chat room. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, I'm going to talk about some MLB. The disgruntled people in the MLB. I want to talk about that. Talk about a player that hit a milestone in the MLB. Some hate him, some love him. Most of the ones that love him are his fans. But he is what he is. And regardless if he ever gets into the Hall of Fame, in my opinion, he's a Hall of Fame player. Also want to talk about somebody in golf has fallen way from grace, way from grace. And it's amazing how quickly or how much he's tumbled. And then I want to talk about what today is. June 21st. It's got many different things going on for me today. And I want to talk about that. In fact, I'll talk about that right now. All right. Today is June 1st. Oh, excuse me. June 21st. First of all, happy Father's Day to all those fathers out there. It's very, let me know, you know, I'll do it this way. It's very easy to become a dad, meaning you can procreate, you can create a child, but it takes a man to be a father, okay, in my opinion, to be there in some form or fashion for your child, whether it's a male or your daughter or a son. In this day and age, there is a lot of single parenting in this world. Most of the single parenting is done by the mother, which is putting a disservice to the child in question who didn't ask to be brought into this world, but was brought into this world no matter what happened or the circumstances. So those who helped create a child should help raise that child as best he can and be with that child whenever it's possible to be. But know that child has a father that is in their life, not some a word or he is thinking about you. Know that you should be in that child's life. Very simple to do and create a child. But it takes work to be a father. Now, quite a lot of people make jokes about fathers, especially on Father's Day. They make jokes, because, and for all intents and purposes, and I'm not knocking Father's Day, Mother's Day is a really important holiday. A lot of people really concentrate on Mother's Day. Father's Day is like an afterthought, but in real life, a father is not an afterthought. Main cog in raising a child. You got the yin and yang of a family. Yin is the mother, yang is the father. And it takes that to for the most part, to bring up a child with a solid foundation. And of on the motherly side, the nurturing side, and on the fatherly side, which is a different perspective. So even though there's a lot of single mothers here, and there's a lot of single mothers that have brought up very productive kids, children, especially guys that exceed in their various sports that they are exceeded in. It's always, but that's a chosen few. Think of the millions of people out there, male or female, that are raised by a mother, an aunt, a grandmother, a sister, along with the mother, without the father being that backbone, being that other force in the family. So to me, Father's Day is very special. I have four sons, ranging from early 30s, and the oldest one is a 40. They also have sons. I don't have any granddaughters. So I know it's very important that what I've instilled in my sons, that they've instilled in their sons, to be responsible, to man up when it's necessary, to man up when it's necessary. And it's always necessary when you have sons, not to discount daughters, but I have four sons and six grandsons. And I want all of them to be responsible enough that when they become fathers, I'm talking about my grandsons, and that they do the same things that their fathers have laid a foundation for. And then I have laid the foundation for them, meaning my sons. All right. The second thing I wanted to talk about on this day, on a personal note, is it's one of my son's birthdays. my second son. I have four sons, like I said. One stepson, he's the oldest. My oldest biological son turns 38 today. Happy birthday, Gerald. Just got off the phone talking to him. He's soon to be married in August. September, I'm sorry. Day before Labor Day. So he's moving on with his life, and he's doing quite well. Quite well. We had a nice conversation, father-son type of conversation. And I'm very proud of all my sons. Very proud of all my sons. Very driven, very determined, and not the type of guys that shrink in the face of adversity. So, with that being said, like I said, happy birthday to my first biological, my oldest biological son, Gerald. All right, we move on. And going into this afternoon is the official first day of summer. So this is a heck of a day for me. It's Father's Day, for one. It's my son's, my oldest biological son's birthday. And it's also the first day of summer. And in my opinion, it's about 2.5 months, give or take, from the first day of football. Something like that. So when summer rolls in like this, even though I am a football fanatic 365, 24/7, this officially opens up the fantasy football talk to me. But I'm not going to be talking about fantasy football that much today. Maybe a little bit toward the end of the show, but I want to talk about, like I said, some baseball. And talk about some golf. Yeah, I'm talking about some golf. And to help me in the conversation is my esteemed founder of the FSP Network, Sports Network, I should say, and a friend of mine, and a father also, Mr. Victor Gardner. What's up, my man?
Nothing much, brother. Just looking at some U.S. Open golf and TV.
Yeah, and I don't know if you got my text, but I'll say it on the air, man. Happy Father's Day. I know you got a crew there, too, so happy Father's Day to you, man.
Same to you. Thank you very much. Loving little bad kids of mine. One day, they'll be parents, and I get to spoil their kids rotten and send them home and let them terrorize them.
You know, and not to get off track, but I'm going to go off track because that brings to mind when you said that. When I was your age or a little younger, I had four sons, three from my first marriage and one stepson. When they were all together, now I can reflect back, and they've talked about the stories that I was pretty strict. I was a military guy at that time, I've mellowed out after I've gotten out of there. But when I was in there, I was pretty strict, very strict on them. They would reflect back on a lot of the things I've said and did to all of them. And I treated them just like my stepson. I treated them all the same, because that's key, regardless if you have all biological, if you have steps, because there's over 50% divorce rate in the United States. So there's a lot of possibility of having stepkids, and I believe in treating them all the same. There's no favoritism here. And that's key. That now that I have grandsons, and my sons, look how I treat my grandsons, and they look like, I can't believe that you're treating him like that and let him get away with this and whatever. And you never did that with us. I said, well, it's a different deal, man. It's, you are my sons. These are my grandkids. Different deal. And plus I have mellowed out, and I be able to handle things in a more different way than I when I was younger, and a lot more strict in my ways. Not that I'm still not strict in my ways, but I've mellowed out quite a bit from 20 years ago, over 20 years ago. So,
well, GT, I'll tell you like this: I, as you know, being in the military is not an easy job for the
new
service member, nor the spouse and the kids. And you know, I think this is just me. Children that are in the military are exposed to more cultures and more ethnicities than any other place in the world, because they move a lot and get to grow and understand what the world is really like, or places in other states or countries are really like. So, being that military dad, you have to be a little strict, because you don't want your kids to grow up to think, you know, just because you've had these opportunities that you're better than someone else.
Right.
You have it better than someone else, because that can put them in that mindset of, you know, they're superior to others when they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think a lot of, especially in sports, a lot of kids that are children of former military or current military, they have that humble upbringing. And they understand, okay, well, this is why dad or mom is so strict on me, because I need to be this way if I'm going to succeed. I need to be humble and things of that nature. And a lot of these athletes aren't. I'm not going to say Tiger Woods is a bad example, because Tiger Woods for a while was a very good example, but he just did some things on the side to help him get that edge. And now whatever he did in the past is catching up to him, because now his stroke is gone. And, you know, he's not as good as he was. He didn't make the cut at the U.S. Open. He's starting to bowl, and that's bad. And, you know, just in general, you look at how things are with kids in sports, and since we're on Father's Day, how they can grow and learn and understand how to be adults, productive adults, and succeed in the world of life, not just sports, but in the world of life.
Right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said, I get off my soapbox.
Well, you have to get off your soapbox. I mean, this is one of the things I want to talk about, because it's being Father's Day. And I don't know if you think about it, but I think Father's Day is like an afterthought. I hate to say it like that, but Mother's Day seems like the key parent day. And Father's Day is like an afterthought, and it's not as highly regarded. Maybe that's just me as Mother's Day. So I mean, but, you know, I think I don't know if for the last few years or whatever it is, or maybe I'm just missing it, that it seems like there's more an emphasis on the other side of the parent being the father and appreciating the Father's Day versus the Mother's Day. But I think there's still some to be done to have Father's Day a little bit more prominent. And, you know, I go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, for a very long time, and even to this day, I look at my mom, you know, since I didn't grow up with my dad, as being that father. And I have no problem I have no problem saying, you know, happy Father's Day to the mothers and grandmothers who raised children that were not dual families. I mean, not dual families, a mother and a father in the household. I have no problem with that. You know, the male, a male can teach many things as a role model. And they don't have to be the biological father or anything like that. And the female can do the same thing, except they don't understand certain aspects of life. Like, I can't teach my daughter how to handle her female stuff. I can't teach her how to, you know, do female things. My wife has to do that. For my sons, I have to be able to explain to them the way a male body works. And, you know, if, you know, the separation of the two is very delicate because growing up, I didn't have that. I got it from my friends. So,
yeah, but you can teach your daughter the thought process of a male, especially a young male.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. Most definitely.
You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, and I never planned this, Victor. I'm telling you, I never planned this. It's never planned. It's always spontaneous.
Really?
And it's a hell of a hell of a coincidence.
I know what you're about to say.
I do have him sitting out here for a couple minutes now, and I just wanted to let you do what you were saying, and then I have to bring him on because I have to wish him a happy Father's Day and get his perspective on today and see what he has to say today. So I'm going to bring in Mikhail. What's up, my man, and happy Father's Day to you.
What's going on, man, and happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day,
baby. Thank you.
Same to you, Mike.
So we were just reflecting on being fathers and the significance of a father in a family environment. Let me put it that way. Being on that other yin versus yang, mother being yin, the other guy, the father being yang, and how important it is to have both parents being able to raise the child. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's really important to have both parents to raise a child. I mean, I don't even understand why these delusional people celebrate their single parenthood. I mean, it's just ridiculous to me. I mean, it's just totally delusional. You know, I'm gonna take it easy on you, Vic, because today is Father's Day. I'm gonna take it real easy on you, but I swear, for Lord, you make it really difficult. I mean, you come on,
really,
you make it really. Yes, you do. You make it really difficult.
Oh my God,
really difficult. I'm telling you. But let me just say it like this. So you can get some clarity, young man. Because you're a young man. Right?
Here we go. Jerry.
God.
Jerry, did I do anything? I just said it. I'm just going to say it easy. So you could.
Be easy. Go ahead.
I'm going to be easy because he's young and he got a lot of things going on with him. Right.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Let me say this to you, Vic. When you have parents that raise children and they don't have the benefit of the other parent, regardless if it's a mother or a father, right? That does not make them the other, right? Like if you are a mother and you are, you know, you're the only parent there, you are not a father. You're just a parent. Added responsibility. That's all it is.
I get it. But you.
And no. Wait. Let me finish. Because every time you do that, you're taking another shot at fatherhood, which has really come under attack here in the last decade. I mean, there's no doubt that mothers do what they do, right? But especially in our community, where our entire species is under attack, Yep. I mean, let alone just us. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. As men, our whole identity is just, you know, attacked, destroyed, and I mean, it's like a foreign thing to be a man of masculinity and strength and able to rise to the challenge. I mean, and even if you say certain things in a certain masculine way, people feel some kind of way about it. Like you coming off in the wrong manner. But the thing of it is, right? You as a father and as a man, you have a duty. You know what I mean? To stand. Mm-hmm. You understand already, right? I'm not saying you don't understand. You understand. But you have a duty to stand as a man. It's all you can be. You know what I mean? You don't make many concessions for everything else. Don't. You understand them. But you are a man. Period. Point blank. And for me, you know, I don't know if some people don't take the time to do the certain things that you can do, but you can teach a young lady certain things. There's plenty of information out there. I did it. You know what I mean? It wasn't pretty.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was totally uncomfortable during the whole thing. But it can be done. There's many a mother that do the same thing. You know what I mean? You just gotta tap in, and this is what I say to a lot of women, and they don't like to hear it, but it's the truth. You gotta tap into something, some man, some male somewhere. If you are raising a boy, walking them into manhood, you're going to have to get some kind of mentor somewhere along the line. Either he's going to find it or you're going to find it. You know, and if you're raising a young lady, you better find a mentor someplace. Look, luckily, I didn't have to look that far. You know what I mean? I didn't have to look that far. So, I mean, there's just ways we got to do it as a society now, you know? Because, I don't know, we just getting all broken up. I mean, the family structure is just ridiculous.
Yes.
And just how we look at Father's Day is a big red flag. I mean, I just totally can't stand how these youngins just running around here talking about, "Happy Father's Day, girl, because you a mother and a father." I'm not feeling that.
Really?
I mean,
yeah, I hear you.
I think that is totally disrespectful to my struggle. I mean, it makes my struggle like a clown show. You know what I mean? Nah, man.
Okay. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what you alluded to earlier, Vic, on the golf side, because I'm absolutely amazed what's happening in golf, and I want to talk about it after we take this break. Be right back.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts. Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Okay, we're back. I want to talk about an individual who's currently ranked 199. He's been in six events, no wins, 186,276 he's won. July 4th, he finished 71st. His whole round total was 302. Plus 14 over par, and he won $12,276. This past Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, Thursday was the 18th, which was the U.S. Open, he finished tied for 150 with a total round 156 because he didn't make the cut. It was plus 16. Wherein just a few years ago, he was the number one golfer in the world. He's called Eldrick Tont Woods, but his real name is Tiger. I don't know if you want to call him Simba because he's a whatever. And he just finished his worst round ever in golf. And he looked like he just picked up the golf club versus being at one point and dominating the sport for years. I don't know if it's because of what he did to Ellen, which was his former wife, after it seemed like that was exposed and all the things that happened. Seemed like he lost his edge, like Vic alluded to earlier in the show. And I had alluded to several people that that was his edge, that was his release or whatever, and it kept him on point and focused or whatever. But he's been all over the place, and he looked absolutely horrible this past week when he was trying to into the U.S. Open. I'm talking about Tiger Woods, if people, you don't know what I'm talking about. And I wanted to get my two guys on here that are with me today on what the heck is going on with Tiger. And also, you ever think that he's going to win another major before he decides to say, you know, if I've had enough of this, I've embarrassed myself and I'm out of here. I'm going to go to Macau first and then Victor.
Man, I got no idea if this boy going come back. Like, I really don't know. I mean, because on one hand, there's absolutely no way that you could tell me that a talent like that would just depreciate like that. I mean, he should be smacking that ball well into his 60s for real. I just don't see why not. But on the other hand, you know, When you be dipping into that sauce, Slim, your body appreciate faster. I'm just saying, if you wasn't dipping in that sauce anyway, you know, you probably could last a little bit longer. And then to top it off, I mean, you got the added stress of all that carrying on that was going on in your life. You done got a handle on it now. You know, but, you know, you still got some information floating around out there. But I think too, what is an issue, I think he hasn't fully, his father didn't fully walk him through the manhood, you know. So I think that had a devastating part to it because, It took him too long to get his affairs in order, you know. But then again, it could be just me, because it seemed like the media was just all over him, like white on rice, and it just got really ridiculous. But I absolutely don't know if this young man is gonna pull it through. I would like to sit here and tell you that he is, but looking at the injuries that he's had and looking the way his body's, you know, breaking down, shouldn't have been on that sauce, Slim.
You know, looking at Tiger Woods and his fall from prominence, again, we go back to the whole pressure situation. He was excelling when he was under pressure, married to Ellen and having 4 and 5 girlfriends on the side and being the top player in golf, drawing money for golf. And he just thrived in that pressure situation. He's free of all that pressure. And I do agree that I believe he probably was using some type of performance-enhancing drug, because I can recall he came back from 2 weeks training with the Marines, and he was jacked. You know, I'm like, nah, dude. I went through basic training for 9 weeks, and I didn't swell up like that. You know, I know I'm not a Marine at all, but you don't get swole off of 2 weeks of training with the Marines in a light capacity, you know, like Tiger did. I do believe that just like Barry Bonds, just like Rafael Palmer and all those other cats, his body has started to break down because he's no longer using the stuff, and it's run its course. You know, first it was his knees, then it was his hip, you know, then it was his swing, then it was this. Now, you know, just last year he was at his ex-girlfriend's ski event, and a cameraman didn't know who he was and knocked his front tooth out by mistake. You know, so now he got false teeth and all that. It's unfortunate that Tiger is falling so quickly, and he's falling hard because, as I said, he's a draw. People of all races got interested in golf because of Tiger. When he plays, people watch. When he doesn't play, people don't watch. I'm interested in seeing what the ratings are for Fox Sports 1 on the U.S. Open. You know, have they dipped since Thursday? Have they, like, eroded? Is it only a certain aspect of people? You know, the golf, Tiger is a main reason why the Golf Channel became part of the regular package in basic cable. Because of he was must-see TV. You know, not Rory McIlroy, because Rory wasn't even doing it at the time, but none of those other guys were bringing the Golf Channel to the prominence that Tiger did. You know, people got cable TV just so they could see the Golf Channel and stuff like that, and see Tiger. But it's a new day. It's a new era in golf. You know, the shark told him, he said, look, you keep changing your swing at every event. Just find what works for you and stick to it. That's all you got to do. Because really soon, I believe, because he's our age. Well, he's my age. He's 40. 39, 40 years old. He's about to go on the senior tour in a couple of years. And
he'll be 40 in December.
Yeah. So he doesn't have much time to get the regular, you know, young man's majors anymore. He'll have to go Arnold Palmer and all those cats in a couple of years. But if his body doesn't hold up, the endorsements are drying up too. I mean, he has money. He makes smart investments, but he's got to find a way to fix himself. And I'm not talking about his swing. It's himself that he needs to fix and you know, stop second-guessing himself. To me, to be honest, I think it's a lot of mental stuff, a lot of mental stuff that's causing him to perform at the level he's doing. Now,
the U.S. Open golf course is horrendous. They said that coming out the box, that this year it is going to eat everybody up, and it's doing that. So this just is another example of how Tiger used to dominate a course like this and now can't, even with all the experience and his body frame. It's breaking down. I think so.
All right. I don't see him win another major. He's got mental flaws. And when you talked about his mental aspect, it brought to mind, and if you watched it, and I'm talking about the movie with Kevin Costner called Tin Cup, and that illustrates how much of a mental, how golfers are so mentally fragile, I should say, that their psyche, and how easy they lose their confidence in whatever aspect of the game that goes at one point, even though it may be temporary, or they just have a short streak when they can't get things right, and it seems like everything screws them up. And that, I'm thinking, this is a lot of mental and a lot of overthinking, just instead of going out there and just ripping it.
He
seems like he's all screwed up. He's trying many different things. He's fired people left and right that have worked with him. Some of them had been working for him for years, and then he fired them and got someone new. And then he's trying to find that magic touch again. And I think if he doesn't get his mental aspect of his game fixed, nothing else is going to work. What do you got to say, Vic?
I mean, think about it this way. And yeah, I'm quite sure Michael will agree with me. When Tiger came out, golf courses were shorter. And he was just ripping, as you said, ripping the ball down the links, getting into a position where he can putt and get under par. Golf courses have been extended. They have added more obstacles, meaning sand traps and all this other stuff in these courses, whereas Tiger's driving ability is mitigated. Because now it goes back to, okay, well, fine. We're going to set it up. It's going to be a par 5 hole, 370-something yards with this, that, and the third in it. And your job now is to navigate how to get the ball down, you know, that 370 yards, and then your putting comes into play. Tiger can't do it anymore. His power is gone, so to speak, over these courses. I'm not going to say they were all designed or changed just because of him, but his gameplay influenced the change. You know, Rory McIlroy, young kid, strong kid, knocking the ball down the fairway as well, and he has some touch with it. Tiger, all he has to do, in my opinion, is work on his short game. Work on his short game. The designers of the courses have made Tiger average. And if he can figure that out and say, well, you know what, okay, fine, it's 370, I'll hit it 200, hit another 200, or hit another 150 to get me within 20 feet of the hole, and then my short game is where I really need to work on it. You know, he doesn't have the hips, the knees, or the upper body strength, or lower body strength for that matter, to not get 300 yards anymore. He just doesn't. His body is deteriorating, just like any other adult, except he's added certain things, in my opinion, can't prove it because it's not, you know, nothing out there saying he did it, performance-enhancing drugs. I just think he did. And now it's coming back to haunt him, you know? That's just what I think. So
okay. All right. I want to move on to transition from golf because tell you the truth, I'm not really interested in golf if Tiger's not involved in it. I wasn't interested in it when before Tiger, and I got interested to see how well he could do because he was dominating. Now he's pretty much fallen by the wayside. Like I said, he's, what, 156th ranked or something like that? He hadn't even won $200,000 this year, which is mind-boggling to me. I'll probably never get back to it unless there's another Tiger that comes along. And I'm not saying that because he happens to be African-American. I'm just saying another sensation that dominates the golf like he did at one point. These other golfers that are doing it now, one wins this week, another one wins the next week, and another one wins the week after that. There's no one that consistently dominates from tournament to tournament like Tiger did. So I'll move on to baseball, because I'm seeing this more and more, and it's big name stars that seem like this is happening to. And I don't know if it's, I don't know. What's the heck's going on? The latest big player for it to happen to was yesterday. When the Kansas City Royals were playing the Boston Red Sox, in the seventh inning, David Ortiz was ejected after arguing with home plate umpire Bruce Dreckman about a couple of outside strike calls. I think it was in back-to-back days that your guy from the Washington Nationals, talking to Bryce Harper, one of the better players in baseball, got ejected because he argued about the balls and strikes that the home plate umpire was calling. And I watched both times that Bryce Harper got ejected. I watched what David Ortiz was squawking about. And I've watched other players that I can't recall right now, but those two guys are pretty prominent guys and two popular guys that people know about, that sit at home plate, whether it's left side, right side, it doesn't make a difference, and get questionable strike calls against them from pitchers that are pitching 95 and above. And David Ortiz says it's like walking up to the plate with two strikes against you and you dealing with a guy that's throwing 100 miles an hour and you already put at a disadvantage. Now, I don't know how much baseball you guys watch, but I've been watching quite a bit of baseball, and I've seen a lot of games where you get questionable strike calls, and you never know what the strike zone is going to be from one home plate umpire to the next. And I can understand why a professional baseball player, professional hitter, gets frustrated, because the fact is it's all over the place. There's no consistency, whether it's in the National League or the American League. And I can give you two examples of two guys, one from the National and one from the American League, that have gotten ejected. And I think Ortiz has gotten ejected more than once this year. And so I know Bryce Harper has gotten ejected more than once this year for the strike zone and where the umpires are calling it. And the fact is, it seems like the umpires are a lot more aggressive in tossing guys out, regardless of their stature in baseball, whether it's a guy that's a 240 hitter or a guy that's hitting close to 300 with a double digit home runs and RBIs. So I'm going to go to McCown and then Victor again and get your opinion. Now, I don't know if you guys watch baseball, and maybe not as much as I do, but what I'm really talking about is the umps and their strike zone, and the fact is that they're a little bit more aggressive, and especially in the face of these players and throwing them out higher percentage than in past years. Talk to me.
I don't watch as much as baseball as you do, Jerry. But they were squawking about the whole Bryce Harper issue, you know, a few weeks ago, and I checked out the highlights of it, And watching that pitch that he was squawking about, that looked like a ball to me, man. I wouldn't have swung at that either. I mean, but you know, I'm not an umpire. I'm not a professional hitter either. But I can really understand where the hitter is coming from. If this guy is throwing this 90 some mile an hour ball and he's putting it a fraction in, it's like a fraction in that little box. And thank God for technology, because I wouldn't have been able to tell it had they not put the, how they put that little the strike zone box up.
Yep.
I wouldn't have been able to tell. I would have had no idea what the hell I was looking at. I'd have been like, that was a strike. You know what I'm saying? But when they put the little strike zone up, I was like, oh wow, that was like way out. You know what I'm saying? That's a ball, right? And you know, they've been arguing this for like hundreds of years, Jerry. I mean, I don't know if it's true, but they've been making this argument for 100 years. But it does seem like, you know, that they took and threw Young and out real early. I mean, it didn't even and I saw the argument and I'm like, wow, Slim, you're not even gonna listen to the man? I mean, really, you just gonna go ahead and toss him out like that? I thought that was a little premature, so that's all I got on it.
As far as arguing balls and strikes, I really don't like the rule MLB has. You know, you can't question the ump's call, but you can always check with one of the other judges on, you know, the first baseline or the third baseline. But if the ump doesn't call for that check swing or whatever, or to see if the other person thinks it's a ball or a strike, you kind of have a beef. With Bryce Harper, I saw one of those situations last week where he got ejected just for asking, you know, to check with the other, you know, the third baseline ump. And it was like, really? He didn't go demonstratively. He just said, you're not going to check? And then, you know, he stepped out of the box and he took his time. And then the ump figured he was showing him up when he stepped back in the box. Because there's like a 26-second pitch count time or whatever that the pitcher has to get the ball from his glove to home plate. And the ref or the ump imposed that because Bryce was, you know, quote-unquote, showing up the ump. With David, you know, he has a good eye. You know, he hasn't been in the major league so long that he can't see it as a ball or a strike. Now, granted, a lot of this is predicated on where the catcher is holding his mitt, because you can frame a ball to make it look like a strike. Now, if the ump is over the shoulder of that, you know, of that catcher, and that catcher set up outside or whatever, he might be thinking, well, you know, that's a strike zone, so that's a strike. But if the ump is lined up over the plate, regardless of where the catcher is, you know, he's going to call it as he sees it. And that's the thing. These batters, they're looking to get the benefit of the doubt because pitchers are throwing faster. Catchers are setting up outside the zone, framing where the strike zone is and catching the ball and making it look like it's a strike when it really isn't a strike. A lot of these umps, they're not the youngest, and their eyesight isn't the best. You know, that's why they've included replay in certain situations. You can't do replay on balls and strikes, but I think that K-zone that Mike was talking about, I really wish that it was standard in the game, because that would help refs if there's a question. You know, that might prolong the game because, you know, managers would be like, well, look, I want you to check that. Managers get one challenge. They get one challenge, and The challenge is based on whether it's a foul ball or a fair ball, when it's, you know, either home run or whatever the case may be. If they got a challenge to check a strike or a ball, you know, I'm not saying it's going to make the difference in a game, but it could make the difference in one of your batters, big batters, getting ejected. So, you know, it is a possibility. But, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen from now until the end of baseball. People are going to argue balls and strikes. So.
Okay. Well, there's one last thing I wanted to talk about. Okay. And I think both of you guys, or either both of you guys, have varying opinions or maybe the same opinion about this guy. He's in baseball. He's a bad boy in baseball. He got suspended for over a year in baseball. He's having a pretty good year. He's got 13 home runs. He just hit a 13th home run last night. I think about 4 or 5 RBIs. Two nights ago. He hit his monumental 3,000 hit was a home run. And the guy who caught the ball, and he supposedly caught like 8,000 baseballs. So he's been to quite a few games. Said that Alex Rodriguez is not getting his ball back. He's not a big fan of Alex Rodriguez. And he doesn't think that athletes that do historical things in baseball, makes millions of dollars, and doesn't believe in giving back a ball that he retrieved. And I think he's going to keep it. I don't know if he's going to sell it, but I think he's going to keep it. First of all, what's your thoughts about Alex Rodriguez, 3,000 hit, only one of 29 people that's got 3,000 hits and I think over 500 home runs, if I'm not mistaken about that, or just the 29th person to get 3,000 hits. And the guy who caught the ball is not going to give it back to him. I'm going to Vic first and then Macau. Talk to me.
Well, you know, this guy apparently has over 6,000, you know, balls in his collection or whatever he's caught. He's the same guy that caught Barry Bonds's 700th hit and stuff like that. It's amazing how he's in position,
right,
in all these games to get,
yep,
all these balls. He apparently, the day before Alex hit it, he was asked, if you catch the ball, what are you going to do? He said he's going to keep the ball and give Alex the finger because he doesn't deserve it, da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
Well, you know, I think A-Rod, he's, this year, as we said before, Jerry, he's doing it naturally. Well,
yep,
we believe he's doing it naturally, and he deserves a little.
I can't believe I can't believe he's doing it any other way. That'll be beyond belief. He's doing it any other way. I think he's definitely,
yeah,
doing it naturally.
But whatever the case may be, he's being productive in his DH role, and this guy, he has no plans on doing it. He has no plans on giving the ball back. It's only 27 people in Major League history who ever hit 3,000. And all of them except for him and what's my man name who just retired last year? Second baseman, shortstop, I forgot his name. Jeter. They're the only two that are in the Hall of Fame. Jeter's going to,
right,
Hall of Fame. And from what, mm-hmm, I understand, they're not going to let A-Rod in the Hall of Fame, regardless of what he does. So, you know, it's a shame, but this kid, you know, have a little humanity, sell it if you're not going to give it back to A-Rod. Sell it to somebody and then let them deal with it. But if you got 6,000 balls, you got Barry Bonds and A-Rod, do something productive with it and don't collect it in your house, because somebody's going to break in and steal it, mainly me, and, you know, I'll sell it.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. What's your thoughts, Evan McCown? What's your thought, McCain?
I want to give a attaboy to Alex Rodriguez. You know, he, because he's persevered. You know, he's persevered even during through times of, you know, ridicule and rightful ridicule or whatever. But
yep,
he he still did it. And there's a meme going around saying, y'all keep hating, I'll keep playing. I loved it.
Yep.
But this dude with this ball, he need to go get a life. He really needs to go get a life. I mean, he is like the king of trolls. And then to just, you know, do this to expand on his position, it doesn't matter if he doesn't have the ball. I mean, everybody knows that Alex Rodriguez would probably like to have the ball. You know, that would be, you know, a good sportsmanship gesture. He's not the type of player or type of person that's not deserving of, you know, sportsmanship, because he's demonstrated good sportsmanship on the field and talking about, however, mm-hmm. what he's done off the field and what, you know, is all questionable and stuff like that. But this guy is out of his head. I mean, it's like these people act like they are entitled to this. You know what I mean? He act like he doing something. Last time I checked, Alex Rodriguez is going in history books. 27 other people and did this. He going in the books. You not going in the books. You might go in there as a footnote by a hater type journalist. You know what I'm saying? But for real, seriously, you just gonna hold the ball, Slim? I can't even place my mind to where he is. You know what I mean? It's so ignorant and it's so time consuming. I think I'm done talking about him.
Okay. And we are done with this show. So that's a good segue into ending this show. I want to thank you guys for joining me this fine Sunday morning, the first day of summer, and also on Father's Day. You guys go enjoy your families and enjoy our day. We at least get one day. I mean, even though it's 365, 24/7, this is acknowledgement day for being a father. So you guys enjoy your day and tune in next week, people. Same time, same place. JT's going to be holding it down, the master plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday. And with that being said, you know what? Wait a minute. Before we go here, I got you two guys on here. And the last time I talked to you, we talked about the Game of Thrones. So I'm going to end it this way. I just realized it when I was about to play this music. I'm going to get your thoughts on what you thought of the last episode for this season of the Game of Thrones. And I'm going to go to Macau first and then Victor.
Thoroughly, thoroughly disappointed. Oh, I mean, it was so anticlimactic. The stocks, boy, you knew he was going to die because, you know, the stocks just keep getting killed. You know what I'm saying? I didn't like it. I didn't like how he died or whatever. I thought they was all some sellouts, all a bunch of punks. But I get why they did it. I just wanted to see a little bit more. You know what I mean? I just felt cheated. Felt like something was missing. Maybe it's because of all this binge watching I've been doing in the past few weeks or whatever, watching a whole bunch of different shows in like 2 or 3 days. But I just felt like something was missing. And I didn't like how Snow died. Was the other war that I really thought about Baratheon was going to come in and just clown them dudes, but he got punished. And he died. It was just ridiculous, man. I was just done. My man's still alive, though. That's why I like him. Littlefinger, he's still alive. He's a survivor.
All right, Victor, talk to me.
Well, I got to disagree with him because I went out and bought all the books. I bought them on my Kindle so I can read them on my flight to Korea. And I had a little idea of what was going to happen because all my coworkers, they talk about it. especially this one dude. He told me how things were supposed to happen, and that's how he's supposed to die as far as Jon Snow. Now, what I'm hearing is he might not be dead because the Red Witch is there, and she can bring him back to life because of King's blood and all this other mess.
That ain't happening.
So, well, I got it. But from what I hear, that's a possibility. Arya, she didn't go blind. I learned that all the Starks had that power to see through animals, and her power just got unlocked somehow, some way with the God of Many Faces, or the Many Face God, whatever you want to call him. But I love the way she killed old boy. I love the way she killed old boy to open up the show. Reek pushing Chip over the edge and jumping off the thing, off the castle side. I thought that was kind of, it was all right. But I don't think the big Amazon night girl, I don't think she killed old boy. I think she sliced his leg off or whatever because she saw that it was going to be a problem. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. But I can't wait till they bring in Recon and the other kid because apparently Recon is about to be the man in the tree because he's taking over for the man in the tree. And Sam is about to meet the other Targaryen that everybody missed because he's supposed to be a sorcerer of some sort. He's supposed to learn how to be a sorcerer from him. And winter is coming. Unfortunately, I'm going to be somewhere where I can't see it live, but I'm going to find a way to see it one way or the other. I guarantee you.
Well, as long as you're an HBO subscriber,
How can I subscribe? I have to have the service to subscribe.
Well, let me put it this way. If your family's still in the States and you get HBO, you can always go online and watch a prior episode on HBO Go.
Yes. Well, that's where you come in, JT. That's where you come in. So you make sure to give me that password and all that. We're good.
I think you can, Victor, I think you can do it yourself. I think it's free now.
No. You have to have a subscription to a...
HBO. Yeah, you got to be a subscriber to HBO.
One of them you don't have to. I don't know which one. It's either Go or the other one they got. They've got two of them.
Okay.
I have the HBO Go app, and it requires that I put in my DirecTV information and all the other mess in order to see the show. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yes. Yes. With that being said, I want to thank again you guys that we talked about. I wanted to talk about that with you guys because we won't be able to talk about it until 41 weeks from today when it starts up again in 2016 in April. So with that being said, yes, sir.
Real quick, since Mike's on the phone, sometime in August, I would like to do a mock draft and I'll invite Mike to do it so I can put it up on the website. I want to get our perspective of it. So, Mike, you, me, Jeff, Black, Lance, and a couple other people, I would love to, you know, sit down at a, like, ESPN or whatever and do a mock draft of players. So I'm throwing it out there, Mike. So just if you're interested, you know, let me know, let Jerry know, and I'll give you the date and time so we can sit down and do it.
All right. With that being said, we are out of here. And you know what? I'm not going to play any music. I'm just going to drop the mic and get out of here. That's all. We're gone. Have a good day. Enjoy Father's Day. See ya.